Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What up, baby?
For those joining us now in the 9 a.m. hour.
Key.
Yo.
So you know I'll be all over IG and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because your wife posted pictures of your daughter's second birthday. Yo, y'all really have Minnie Mouse from Walt Disney at the crib. And why was Minnie Mouse like 6'5"? Why does Minnie Mouse look at you in the eyes? I know, but I didn't see the pictures until I saw it. I said, damn, Minnie Mouse tall as hell.
That's not a mouse. That's a damn rat.
First of all, you got the original Minnie Mouse. That's actually Minnie Mouse.
We know some people.
Y'all know some people.
Yeah. No, we.
Mickey's like, where'd Minnie go? She's over at Keys.
No, the young lady was dressed up as one of the other Disney characters with the red hair. I can't think of the name of
Frozen.
Then, huh?
Frozen.
No, I think she was Aladdin, the one in Aladdin. Whatever, it was one of the characters. And then, like 20 minutes later, she was a clown painting faces. And then the next thing you know, I turned over, she was Minnie Mouse. I'm like, damn, that's a huge mouse. That ain't a mouse. That's a rat.
That's impossible.
No, she was really tall, Jay.
I know. I was like, yo, the kid's gotta be intimidated.
My daughter didn't take a liking to her. Let's put it that way. She was waving.
Yeah, they get
from
scared.
Distance.
Too big.
Yeah, she wouldn't. Man, the thing was big though. Like it was just a creepy looking thing. To little bitty kids, you know. But yeah, Jay, we like to have
y'all do it right.
Characters and you think. But I got to go home before the party's completely over because they don't want me to see the bill.
You just have to throw the Oculus on her and, you know, do it in the metaverse, Key. It's cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper.
Tell you that would be, yeah. Or do it like we did to get some Thrifty's ice cream and a Duncan's High cake that my mother would make and call it a day.
Okay. Mm. Hey, what are you doing for your birthday? Y'all going to the park. There you go.
Y'all
go to the park and we'll do the birthday at the park.
You didn't know how to do it up. Basement of McDonald's, you know, that's where you go for all that stuff. They have a little party bag.
Growing up, you had a party in your backyard, which was small.
Yep.
Or you go to the park like Jay say.
Yep.
Your mother and your sister bake a Duncan Hines cake with like some bland ass sweet extra frosting that's either chocolate or the white kind. And if you're lucky, your auntie might make something and put a caramel sauce or something, as she done found the recipe in some damn magazine, and you're going to get Neapolitan ice cream, you're going to have some boiled hot dogs, that's like just...
What was that about?
Oh, that's
By
what
the
you
way,
gonna have.
No, that was a little different for me. Now, my mother was like real, like, crunchy, like not hippie, but like beatnik type, right? Like an artist. So she, you know, would walk around New York City barefooted. Right? Like, oh, it's fine. No, Ma, it's glass and stuff on it. What are you doing? But so she was very against. She would listen to, like, public radio and hear how bad the cereals are for you and stuff. So I couldn't have, like, Frosted Flakes. Like, Ma.
You missed out.
If you're getting cornflakes and I can put sugar on them, what's the difference?
That's worse.
All the sugar
go to the bottom of the bowl.
It's the worst.
So on my birthday,
I got to pick what cereal. I could have as much as I like. She would get like Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks or something. Oh, it was the best. Then I would have like 7 bowls, make myself sick, cuts all on the roof of my mouth. That was my birthday.
That's the Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
that
Captain
is the Captain Crunch.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Captain
so
Crunch
good, though.
It's too soggy, though. I'm like, I'm off it. I'm
so
off it.
Good,
but,
though.
But you know.
Either cut your mouth or it's soggy.
Yeah, too much.
What I do, Jay, in all honesty, everything I do is really for my kids. Really, truly is for my kids because the way that I grew up, not having a whole lot and grew up, you know, poor, whatnot, and finally making it and having some success in life, I always want to give them what I did not have. So I don't mind giving lavish birthday parties for them. I can't wait till my daughter has a sweet 16.
How do you bring them up?
I may just get a loan from you to do it.
By the way, Jeff Van Gundy is coming up here in about 5 minutes. talk NBA Finals, of course. How do you do that, Key? I have three kids. And still raise kids who appreciate, who don't take for granted that kind of material stuff that, like, other kids, most other kids who ever lived would, like, oh, my God, that's be incredible. But they just kind of grow up with it. How do you raise kids who don't take it for granted and still appreciate it? Is it possible?
You know, what we try and do, like most people, I'm going to say like most people, what we try to do, like most of our friends that have a different economic status and level, is we try to take them back to reality by having them do things, doing holidays, gift things to the less than fortunate kids. You know, not just throw your clothes in the garbage, but make sure that you go back into the inner cities of where I grew up at. Do things like that in the holiday time, Christmas time.
Does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, absolutely. I tell my son every time. See, you know how you got all these freeways out here, right, Max?
Yeah, of course.
In every freeway, there's a sign. Somebody's standing with a sign. You know, we'll work for food, vet, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Every damn time we stop,
every underpass.
Vance is like, you got some money on you? For what? Well, the guy's standing there. I'm like, Vance, come on, man. Hey, we can't just keep giving it to every damn body. But that's in his mind, him and my daughter in their mind, they just always want to help. They always want to help. Good. They always want to help. And they understand that they are fortunate enough to be able to go to private school. They understand the difference, even though I use it as a threat. When I tell them they don't do something, I say, you're going to wind up going to public school. You keep messing with me.
Man, public schools, I sometimes think the education might even be better in the public.
Depending on which one you go to, certainly is.
Yeah.
I did well. Went to public schools my entire life.
Yeah, and so did I. I had 1 year in a private school, and actually I liked my public school. Every other year was public, and I preferred it, actually.
Why?
Looking back. Because, first of all, you're exposed to more different kinds of people. And secondly, you know, everyone's like, oh, the kid needs so much attention. I was like a little bad kid a lot of the time. I didn't need to be one of like 12 kids in the class. I like getting lost. Back in the old days, PS4, 33 kids in the class, you can kind of hide, you know?
You can maneuver properly.
Yeah, you can maneuver. Exactly.
I tried that, Jay. I tried, you know, this was way back when, you know, they were recruiting kids from the inner city to go to the public, private schools out in the valley. So it was a school called Montclair Prep. Montclair Prep was a big time prep school when I was growing up. And I went there, checked in for a day. I looked around, man. I said, man, I can't do this. I gotta go back to the hood, go back to the inner city. Cause this ain't gonna work for me.
But for elite athletes, you guys get funneled into different situations than most people. Like, right? Because at a pretty early age, it's kind of clear that your life is going to be different than your average person's life.
You have that here in, you know, New York, New Jersey with St. Anthony's, St. Patrick's, another school, St. Benedict's in Newark, New Jersey Academy. Typically you end up getting recruited because, I mean, that's especially now. I mean, you have all these powerhouse academies around the country. It's all about how do you start getting ready for the next state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was enamored too, Jay. Because they were like, oh, Cher went here. Not with me, Jay, so no, I'm not that old. They were like, oh, Cher went here, and Toy Cook went here. And so they had all these different people. I'm so enamored. I'm like, yeah, man, I want to go there. Man, I walked in that classroom and looked around.
Nobody
I remember like it was yesterday. I was like,
different, man. Yeah,
that's not really what I want to be doing. I'm going back over here to Dorsey and go back to the hood
and yet,
where I'm a little more comfortable.
And yet you did lead a life that exposed you to more different kinds of people than you would otherwise been exposed to if you weren't an elite athlete, right?
Well, absolutely.
And that makes 100%. You comfortable in all different kinds of situations now, I imagine.
Yeah, when you know, I'm having a 50th birthday party coming up in July. And I was just thinking yesterday, you brought that up. I was thinking of the diversity that's going to be at my party. Just I'm talking about different economic, social backgrounds. Because as I was doing stuff yesterday, getting ready for it, I was just thinking about all the different people that are going to come together. It's going to be interesting. You know what I'm saying, Max?
Interesting. I do, man. You live a life that exposes you to a lot. It gets you prepared for life in a different kind of way. And then you're going to see it all manifested right there. Half a century on this earth. Keyshawn Johnson, this is your life. All right, listen. Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst. Let me first say, tune into an NL West battle tomorrow night as the Giants host the Dodgers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, so we're going to go to Game 4 of the NBA Finals.
Some of the things, we had some preparation with Miami off-ball actions. Now we're taking it to another level with their execution and their shooters.
Just respect in terms of understanding what he brings to the table on that end of the floor. He's relentless. He's physical. He's smart. Finds a way to be in the right place at the right time.
So we gotta make it as tough as possible, and make sure nothing is easy. Because if it's easy, it's gonna be a tough time.
And now we are joined by the great Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst. Coach, how concerned should we be about Steph's injury?
Well, I think certainly if he is at all hobbled, it's going to make it even more challenging. So I think it's probably the number one question that needs to be answered for the Warriors is he healthy? Because if he's not, I don't think they have much of a chance anyway, but if he's not healthy, I find it hard to believe they could win three more games in this series.
Coach, have you ever coached a game and went into a game with one of the top player on your team hobbled in a significant fashion, a playoff game or a must-win game or something along those lines? And how did you handle it, if so?
Yeah, I had Patrick Ewing for basically a whole season, and he just didn't feel right the whole year. And I think when you play the whole year like that, Keyshawn, it actually makes it easier, not for the player but for the coach, because some nights he's going to feel better than others. And we had, I think, a little bit more balance to our team offensively. I think in this case, they're so Steph Curry dominated as far as their ability to score that he's going to have to put maximum pressure on the Boston defense. And he can only do that if he's, mobile and he feels like he can move at a rate that'll attract a second defender. Because if he can't attract a second defender, it's going to be hard for the other guys to be able to get enough quality shots to support them and them to be able to score at a good enough rate to win.
Coach, I'm curious because yesterday I was on First Take and we were kind of, going back and forth around, playing guys like Kuminga, playing guys like Moody more to give them a little bit more athleticism and youth on the court, because it does feel like at times Golden State looks a little bit older in the way they get attacked off the dribble, and not having a rim protector there, traditionally for the Golden State Warriors has been different. So, what do you think about utilizing a little bit more of the youth in spurts throughout the course of the NBA Finals for this team?
Well, I think a coach knows his team best.
I agree.
And Kuminga in particular, I think, played 70 games, nearly 17 minutes a game. So Steve Kerr has a great body of work to decide who and who will not play. And he's chosen not to play both guys. Now, I can see that changing tonight because it's obvious to see that Boston's the bigger, stronger, fresher, more athletic team. And, I could see either Moody or Kuminga playing. The question then becomes, who do you take out? And what are you losing and what are you gaining? And I think these are all challenging decisions, because he made an initial decision not to play either in this series. Mm-hmm. And I wonder in his mind, has anything changed from what he's seen through the first three games to alter who he wants to play? Because, if you're going to count on, and I don't know how old Moody is, but let's say he's 19 or 20, it's really hard to count on two 19 or 20-year-olds who haven't really been in the rotation in the playoffs to all of a sudden say on the road against the Celtics, game four, seemingly a must win, that, hey, it's your time.
Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. JVG, I'm thinking a lot about the attitude of the Boston Celtics, and you have guys like Grant Williams, have guys like Marcus Smart. And I know, like, offensively, Jason Tatum is a very special player. But it does feel to me, watching the finals, that, like, just the way Jaylen Brown has approached the game in some impactful moments. If that's, you know, the beginning of the fourth quarter in game one to get the win on the road, the way he started the game in game three to kind of initiate the tone of the game. Is it fair to say that he is the attitude of the Boston Celtics in general?
I don't know that, but I think what he's done, like you just mentioned, exceptionally well is game two and game three. He's gotten them off to terrific starts. And I think what I really liked about what he and Tatum did in the last game is when they started their driving game, they got rid of the ball much earlier and were pinpointing passes to the weak side corner. And I think Golden State, what they need to do is they're going to have to guard the ball a lot better one-on-one so they're not in so many scrambled situations which left them very vulnerable on the offensive board. But I really liked how Brown didn't play with the ball, got rid of it early, shot it, you know, moved it quickly, made really sound, quick decisions. So I don't know how you want to label that, but I know he played exceptional basketball. And even though he didn't do a whole lot after that as far as from a stat sheet, I thought the way he got them off to a great start, they played from ahead, I thought he was terrific.
The coach, Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst and former NBA head coach, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, how important is it for Draymond Green to bounce back in this game for the Warriors?
Well, the problem is the way they're guarding Golden State makes it challenging for Green in this manner. Green lives off teams that end up putting two on the ball off of him onto Curry, and then he can short roll into the middle of the floor, catch it, and then be the primary decision maker in four-on-three situations. Because they're switching his pick and rolls, he doesn't get those same opportunities. And when he doesn't get those opportunities, it's not like he's a knockdown shooter or he's a post-up player and can post the smaller guys. His main function offensively is he's a great passer and a tremendous screener. And because of their switching scheme off of him, they've sort of negated both things. So to me, it's going to be imperative for Green then to make his mark defensively. They have to turn Boston over. If they don't turn Boston over, I don't think they can score enough in the half court to beat him. So if they can turn him over, and Boston at times has been a high turnover team, then Green in transition can make his mark by pushing it and making the right decisions. But I don't think in the half court, because of the way they're guarding, and because of their size, that he's going to have a chance to be a, you know, 14 to 16 point scorer in any of these finals games.
Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst. Coach, we've been talking a lot today about young duos in the league, looking at Tatum and Brown and thinking, you know, if you took, I don't know, 25 and under or something like that, is there a duo, like even who could be mentioned with those two when you look at their horizons? What do you think of them among young duos and young teammates in the NBA?
Well, I don't really, off the top of my head, who else would be considered?
Right,
Luka and anybody?
Yeah.
Ja
and someone? Or,
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you could make the case, but these guys are, what they give the Celtics, obviously, you know, they score it. They're both very active and improved defensively. And they give you such versatility from a lineup standpoint because they're so big at the wing, right? And so they can slide up a position. If you need to play only one big, they can slide down and give you that jumbo type of wing package that they do. I just think they're terrific. And they were high, you know, what, third and fourth picks in the draft for a reason. They're talented. And Tatum, you know, and Brown, too, together, they've improved consistently and they've won consistently since they've been in the league. Last year, they lost in the playoffs but Brown was unavailable, right? So when they've been available, they've proven over time that they're going to win at a high rate. And this year, you know, they're two wins away from winning it all. So this is a tremendous duo that has a bright present and a bright future.
So, Jeff, if you are – you're Steve Kerr. You're in a locker room tonight getting ready to come out and play against the Boston Celtics in a game that you hope to steal one on the road. You know you kind of need it. What are the three keys? Like, what are three things that I need to pay attention to tonight that will lead to the Warriors winning the game?
Well, I think it all starts with their ability to guard the ball. If they can guard the ball better, I just thought it was blow by after blow by in game three. If they can guard the ball better, they can turn them over, which is would be the number one thing I have to do to be able to score enough. And second, it's going to keep me at home and be able to give myself a better chance to rebound the ball. So I think everything starts with guarding the ball, which will allow them maybe to force more turnovers and then rebound the ball better. And then I think when you're talking about offensively, I think Golden State's turnovers, which got them into problems in the fourth quarter, they've got to be a low turnover team. And then again, I'm trying to get Steph Curry as many pick and roll situations as I can, because to me, that's the only way they've been able to generate consistent offense.
Jeff will be on the call. Jeff Van Gundy, of course, with Mike Breen and Mark Jackson tonight on ABC in this hugely important game four. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, coach, as always.
Glad you're feeling better, JVG.
Yeah, thank you so much. You guys have a good rest of the day.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. If you missed Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this week,
it's exactly. Friday.
You missed a lot.
Back in 2009, I'm at the W Hotel in L.A. Mike Tyson grabbed my shoulder and lit.
Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. You know what I'm saying, Jay? Everybody has a plan.
You keep imitating Mike like that. Watch what happens. Mike, that was Jay, not me.
Please let go of my shoulder, Mike.
But LeBron James saying out of the teams that he would like to play for, like, that's
it. I'm not doing it.
You're doing it, Jay.
You're doing it.
No, you're doing it.
You're doing it.
You said no. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. Are you watching Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes, I am.
I don't want to offend anybody, yeah. But I don't even know who
Obi-Wan
is.
Kenobi. Oh, I got you.
Up until a couple years ago, I thought it was Dark Vader.
Yeah, Dark Vader. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Just like when the two-on-two, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
And Max.
Played Bart and Han, two-on-two. Everyone made contributions. We don't keep track of that stuff. We're a team. I remember someone on this show. I remember it was discussed a lot. Tom Brady, maybe on a boat handshake agreement. It doesn't matter who brought it up. It's one of us. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I brought it up.
Listen to...
Thank you.
Jay,
you know, Jay ain't going to relinquish his rights.
Nah, man, not on that one.
Jay, I thought we were a team.
No, we're not.
Oh, man, no. You know, Jay want that credit.
No, listen, Jay brought it up on this show. That's the important thing. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Tom Brady said the following. Listen to this at a press conference. Listen to what Tom Brady says here.
I mean, again, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, as I've had for the last 3 or 4 years in my career, about, you know, different opportunities when I'm done playing with football. So, you know, I kind of made a decision of what I'd like to do. You know, I'll get to be in the game of football. And I think for me, the most important thing is where I'm at now, you know, what I hope to do for this team. That's been my commitment to, you know, this team and organization. It's been so much fun for me to come here 2 years ago. It's been almost 2.5 years now, and it's been an incredible part of my football journey.
See, I don't like that Tom Brady.
Yeah, you like Tom Brady 24 hours ago. You talk about how likable he's become.
Yeah, but now he's giving me the old New England Patriot tone. I just don't right, Jay? I just don't like it.
That's why I was key when they made this announcement about Tom Brady in the booth. I'm like, okay, because I'm torn. Because I think he has brilliant insight, but is he going to be real and raw with his insight? Because, like, when I listen to Tom Brady when he's in the Bucs uniform, like, that's real raw, like, talking that kind of beep kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I need that TB. I don't need the TB dancing around answers. I know he's going to be politically correct around ownership of a team. But he didn't deny it, though, Key.
That was
he
big.
Didn't deny it.
Jay, 100%. Listen to Jeremy Fowler on this very program. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer. He told this during Hot News or Not News. You got to see Key's face just shaking his head.
He could have said no. I had no interest in playing for the Miami Dolphins or, you know, I'm only focused on the Tampa Bay Bucks. But he said he had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, which tells me that there was some serious smoke around the Dolphins situation, which, you know, portends to the future a little bit. He's a free agent next year. He didn't do a contract extension with Tampa. This is probably not going away. Maybe there'll be a flirtation next offseason to play for the Dolphins. I think this is an underplayed story league-wide, that the best player of all time almost went down to Miami to potentially be like a part owner slash quarterback. Yeah, I still think he goes to the Fox booth next year because he's got that contract done, but we'll see.
Brady will be what next show? Year?
What's the matter? Soup too hot? Soup too cold?
What will Brady be age-wise next year?
He's turning 45 at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, he's age 45 in season. It's in August, I think.
So he'll be 46.
No, he'll be 45 this season.
No, I'm talking about next year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want no damn 46-year-old Tom Brady at quarterback. Man, please.
If Tom Brady were to have a retirement year for one team in the same division as Bill Belichick, that would lead into ownership for the Miami Dolphins. You're telling me if you're the Dolphins, you wouldn't do that?
Jay, before we even get there, I'm with you. When you were talking about the stuff, hey, you couldn't have a handshake agreement on a boat and everything, Jeremy Fowler just said exactly what I've been thinking. This is a hugely underplayed story. Like, Key, you could say Tom Brady's kind of like, you don't like him again, he's not giving you the real, but he did not deny, like, considering and talking to the Dolphins. To me, that's a huge thing. He's trying to get to Miami, it sounds like.
It certainly sounds that way. Look, anything that Tom Brady does as far as ownership is obviously when he retires, then that's going to turn into a whole thing, investigation going to be in it. Well, did you promise him anything before he's signed on, da 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 da? Because he can't get it as a player. He won't be able to do it as a player because it will violate salary cap and NFL PA rules and everything else. So his ownership stake on any team at all in the NFL would have to come once he's retired. Look, if he can do it, do it. Why not? If somebody offering you up a piece of the pie, because I know they ain't giving it to everybody, that's for damn sure.
What if Tua has a real big year? Like, I know you don't think a lot of him, Key, like he's okay, but Tua, you know, Drew Brees wasn't any great shakes his first couple of years. That's a guy who people have been kind of, not exactly, but he's been hopefully compared to, right? Left-handed, smaller guy. Maybe he could be accurate enough. But what if he takes real strides? They put him in a good situation, lots of weapons around him. He's made progress between years one and two. If it keeps up, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we don't want to move off this young guy, right? How real is Tom Brady? What Jay just painted, Tom Brady in the same division as Bill Belichick in his final season in the NFL.
Well, Jay had said doing the whole beginning of the Brian Flores lawsuit and all the different stuff that was going on with Brian Flores, Jay brought up the fact that there was a secret meeting with a certain quarterback on a certain boat by a certain owner in the Florida area, and it was leaning more and more towards Tom Brady. Jay just didn't give up the name, but now Jay won't credit.
Well, was I supposed to break news on everything? I mean, I just telling you what I heard from a very valid source.
You heard it on Keyshawn, Jay Willimax.
All I'm saying is, like, this to me seems like there's a lot of positioning for Tom Brady. It's the first thing I said, even when his salary came out. I'm like, oh, this is what he's going to make on TV. Like, all right, like, what are the next step for Tom Brady? Like, I know people who are in television on the basketball side who own pieces of teams. Like legit pieces of teams. Like, Shaq owns a legit piece of the Sacramento Kings. Grant Hill does NBA stuff for TNT, does the NCAA tournament, owns a legit piece of the Atlanta Hawks. Like, it's a world in which I could easily see Tom Brady transitioning and
Jay Will with the Mets,
setting it all up for right now.
Jay Will with the Mets.
Jay Will is on a very popular morning show.
Multiple, you know, sports franchises.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. And he owns a piece of the Mets, piece of the Nets.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. We all on a
piece
of the
Mets.
Let's not forget about Max. Part of the new Ring magazine.
I'm not part of the new ownership group. Whatever Jay does, I glom on.
I've been with the Metaverse and NFT since the beginning of time with Jay.
That's right. I have a piece of the Metaverse. The biggest question of the morning, nevertheless, gentlemen, remains. Michael Jackson or Chris Brown? Is Chris Brown more talented than Michael Jackson, as Ryan Clark claims?
What?
And Jay Will is running on the same ticket with Ryan Clark. This is their platform. Chris Brown.
Lose, and then Michael Jackson.
Your last chance to weigh in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's next. By the way, if you win the argument, Jay, I want a piece of it.
Jay,
on ESPN
Jay
Radio.
Argument.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Today's interesting. There's a new movie that has Adam Sandler in it. There's been a lot of promotion around Adam Sandler, obviously with the guy trying to come back and play basketball. And Anthony Edwards is doing a cameo in the movie, Max and Key.
Heard good things.
Key, like I've been trying to tell you from the beginning, I've known Ant Edwards for a minute. Like, he is one of the most talkative dudes there is in the NBA. And he has this scene.
Is that why you call him Baby Key?
I call him Baby Key. He has a scene in the movie where he's literally talking to this European player that's trying to make it in the league. And the trash talking that he has, that he's saying to him as he's talking about his kid in the stands, is like some next pair, like some next level Gary Payton type of stuff here. And it's just like, for me, Key, like, this is what sports is about. Can you in moments, like, it's not about the game on the court. It's also about these people that get you lost in the other games of trash talking. And I love the scene, man. It epitomizes what sports is to me.
Yeah, you say Baby Key, and a little bit of what he did in the movie was a little bit of some of the stuff that I would do in games. Yeah, I would talk quietly, like you wouldn't even know. You just think I'm just having a conversation with the dude. Oh yeah, but I was to the point where people wanted to fight me.
See, that's the thing, though, Key. How many people did you get? Like, it's like we just had Patrick Beverly.
And a lot of
here,
and
right?
Some of my stuff, Jay. Yeah. It was authentic, real. Like, it was.
Real.
It really happened. Some of the stuff really happened. You know, once upon a time, we were playing in a game against the – I think it was the Minnesota Vikings, and the guy was on the Minnesota team. And for whatever reason, we were – I didn't know that the young lady was a friend of his, but I knew.
Yeah, and, so was the young lady involved. Go ahead.
And I walked back. Side by side, at the, walking to the huddle, back toward the huddle after I made a catch, and we're looking at the big screen to see the catch, and he's walking next to me, and I knew, Jay. You know I knew. I was like, damn. And they showed the kiss cam. She was sitting next to her buddy. You know how they show cute girls. And I knew. First thing I said, I was like, blankety blank, what the hell is she doing here? She was just in Tampa Sunday. She was just in Tampa on Friday. See, he was shot for the rest of the game, Jay. Jay, what? Shot for the rest of the game.
Looked up, yeah, he was on the kiss cam.
I can't.
He See, was kid, done.
Saw, dude, you know, people be ready to fight.
People he was
angry.
Done. He was done for the rest of the game, man.
That ever happened to you, Max? No. Okay, anyway.
I played dirty when
I ever been on the kiss cam? Is that what you're asking?
Kiss cam? You ever been on the kiss cam?
No, never been on the kiss cam.
All right. Tell them, cuz.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and X, presented by Progressive Insurance. There's some I say you also have to evaluate where someone's talent puts them among their contemporaries. Is Chris Brown as far ahead of his contemporaries in terms of talent as Michael Jackson was?
I think we put up a poll, too.
Did
we put up a poll?
At Key, J, and Max?
Yeah, Jeff, I think we did, right?
Jeff in Wisconsin, who you got?
Hello, Jeff, are you there? Wisconsin.
Michael and Chris Brown would be like J. Will. Nine in the same category. Michael all the way.
Michael all the way, Jay.
It would be like me and who, nine in the same category?
No, let's just, I don't know.
I missed that last part.
MJ, Michael. It's like comparing MJ to J. Will in the basketball world.
Really?
Not in the same hemisphere.
Actually, Jay was drafted one slot before Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan went third. Jay went second.
Yeah. Winner.
Anwar in Brooklyn. Who you got, MJ or Chris Brown?
Come on, man. It's MJ all the way.
Yeah, I feel
Why?
Like Jay.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, Steph Curry and Michael Jordan. Like, Steph Curry's got the three. He could play golf. But you're not taking Curry over Jordan.
We're not talking about taking somebody over. We're talking about talent.
You said Chris Brown can shoot a basketball. He can paint.
Yes.
Have you watched Michael Jackson's videos, like the stuff that he produced? He was a perfectionist in the way he made his music.
Man, so Chris Brown's not a perfectionist in the way he makes his music?
But Jay, that's what I tried to tell you. You got to dive into the history of MJ to understand – what an artist he was. That's what I was trying to tell you. By the way, we did put up a poll, and it's not even fair.
Of course, Michael.
What is it?
Of course I'm not going to be in the majority here on this. And I don't care.
No, you ain't in the majority at all.
I don't care.
Hear the results, Key. What you got?
I'm not a follower.
The poll, Michael Jackson.
What is it like?
93%.
Yeah, we got 7%.
Chris Brown, 7%.
That's all I need, 7%.
Come on, man.
7% is all I need. I'm okay. I'm confident with 7%.
But maybe Linda in New York thinks something different.
Come
What's up, Linda?
Come on, Linda.
Nope, Linda Damn. Thinks Michael Jackson all day.
Jay, man, they go,
you somebody call in who wants to support me. Please. Go,
no,
Linda,
go to the.
I thought RC made a real good, real, real strong argument.
Did you just hear 93-7? That ain't no damn argument.
Nobody's worried
well,
about
I mean,
what
I'm
other
saying
people
it was persuasive.
Now
to me.
You
I'll
ain't worried
Michael
about
Jackson,
the other people
but
say on Twitter all of a sudden.
Nah, I don't listen to Twitter, Key. So you tell me every day.
Hey,
Michael.
Now we got
Michael Jackson had the biggest moment in the history of American popular culture.
I get it.
With the moonwalk, and had the biggest selling album of all time by a factor
time.
Or something.
He's the king. I get it. Tom Brady's the king, but Aaron Rodgers, he's more talented.
I can't believe you guys are talking over this.
Jeff in Rome. Rome, New York,
Rome?
That is.
Oh, okay.
In Rome, New York.
Oh, Rome, New York.
Yeah, there's lots of, you know, Romes and Ithacas in New York. Don't worry about it. Jeff in Rome, New York. Who you got, MJ or Chris Brown?
Yeah. Well, I got of course, it's MJ. It's because MJ, this dude got a game called Moonwalker. He has a video game. Not the fact of that, I don't see people like Chris Brown. Yo, let me get a game. Chris Brown, the rapper. It's there's nothing to compare here. And the fact that MJ, if you want to be like MJ, how can you be better than somebody when you want to be like him? You know what I'm saying?
You could try to emulate him. You could try to do what they do, but surpass him.
I've said this before. I said that Kobe, I think Kobe at the end of the day was more skilled than Michael Jordan. Doesn't mean that he was better.
No, it doesn't mean he was more talented. He was more skilled because he built on what Jordan did, but not more talented. Couldn't jump as high, run as fat, that type of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So you're saying Chris Brown is more talented than Michael Jackson.
Yes, I'm co-signing. Ryan Clark is saying that. I'm co-signing it.
You're co-signing
just
Ryan Clark.
Just to clarify.
Sometimes, Jay, you shouldn't step in something that ain't yours. You do understand that, right?
I'm okay with it, though.
That wasn't your fight.
Today's Friday.
I can't believe Jay thinks that Chris Brown's more popular than Michael Jackson.
Nobody remember what we talked about in 2 days from now.
Jay, I can't believe you think Chris Brown is more popular than Michael Jackson.
You didn't hear Max just now.
No, what did Max say?
How could you
he
say
just
he's more
said
popular
he can't
than
believe
Jackson?
See, that popular. He said popular.
Key, could you believe this guy?
Dude is moving the goalpost. No, don't call in the next caller.
Marco in Brooklyn. What do you think?
Guys, before I start, I'm just trying to get my emotions together, and I don't understand how somebody would say Chris Brown is more talented than Michael Jackson. Even Usher was better than Chris Brown. Even Usher. Ooh. So, what are we talking about right now? Not even the same status here. You've lost all credibility with me now.
Chris Brown's a very
I've lost all
guy.
Credibility with you. Okay, moving on to the next caller. Where's the next caller where I can get my credibility back?
Jay in Detroit.
Hey, what's the deal, man?
I can hear it in his voice.
No, he a Michael Jackson guy. I feel it. I sense it. I can feel the force.
Hey, it's Joey, though. Like, I called a couple times, you feel me? But no, I say Chris Brown more versatile.
Told
like,
you!
I don't know how you do that, Jack.
But I can hear it in his voice.
Hey, Joe.
I can hear it in his voice. He's 25.
I'm 22, but look.
Okay, 22.
Chris Brown, he's more versatile. He jack all trades.
I told you.
Michael Jackson. No, listen. But with Michael Jackson, he kind of like Aaron Donald. Like, you know how, like, he's so far ahead in what he do? Like he the best at what he do? Like, he's so far ahead in this specific category. I think you got to give it to Michael Jackson. But I think it's closer, though, than what a lot of people are trying to
say. In other words, what I was saying before. In the principal area of comparison, which is as a performing artist, MJ has it. But Chris Brown has things that go beyond the principal comparison. I get what Jay is saying. Daniel in Texas, you got 30 seconds. What you got, Daniel?
I called in to – I'll stick that for Jay. I'm going to say Chris Brown. I'm 32. I love Michael. But when you're talking about, I think it's like Max said earlier, it's talent and skill, right? Chris Brown took his shots. He mixed every single different type of dancing and everything. Yes, Michael perfected his little stuff in music, right? He's great at what he does. I'm like Steph Curry's like a true point guard, and he's great at what he does. But overall, when you talk about Chris Brown – I think
Michael Jackson did perfect his little stuff, had the highest selling album of all time by a factor of something.
Why are you so emotional? You said don't get emotional with when you discuss it.
Because he's sitting there calling the little stuff.
Can you call every quarterback in the NFL little? You know, that little QB.
They're smaller than me. Like,
now is it.
Greeny is coming up.
To say little.
Will this conversation continue on Greeny? Coming up next, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Ocean of the Ocean.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.